Okay, we're talking about, in this series, In God We Trust. And this morning, we're going to be talking about a topic that we've talked about many times before. In fact, some of the things we're going to focus on this morning, we've talked about over and over again. It'll be a good reminder to you. You'll see some of the slides on here. You'll go, I've seen that before, because it's a great reminder. The reason I keep talking about this particular topic, and that's forgiveness, is because, as I've said before, I think it's one that as Christians we struggle with probably more than anything else, is really dealing with forgiveness. That is, to forgive others and to forgive ourselves. So we need to learn to trust in God when it comes to forgiveness, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. We've talked about, and kind of setting this whole thing up, the fact that this is our national motto, In God We Trust, and we have it on our money. And remember, let me ask you this, how many of you still have your In God We Trust? Okay, because that's what it is. Remember, it's not just a penny. Okay, it is an In God We Trust. So stop and pick those up when you see them laying on the ground. And remember, it is an In God We Trust. And that's a great reminder to us. But then the question we've been asking is this. We say we trust in God, but do we really trust Him? Okay, and again, especially when it comes to this topic of forgiveness, do we really trust Him? We say, just keep calm and just trust in God. And it sounds really good, but what does that mean? Is it something that we just say when we don't know what else to say to one another, or do we really mean it? Okay, that's a challenge for us to be thinking about when it comes to trusting God. Do you really trust Him? Okay? As we've been looking at this series, we're seeing there's a lot of different situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in where our trust is challenged. We are challenged to trust in God. And that's really what we're trying to focus on, is looking at some of these different situations and say, okay, how can I learn to trust God more? There's two real major questions that we're looking at in all of this. The first one has to do with this. What does God do in the midst of those challenges that I'm facing? What is God's role in all of this? And then the second one is, how does He call upon us to respond in those different situations and circumstances that we're in? And again, especially this particular one when it comes to forgiveness. How is God calling upon us to respond? Because that has a lot to do with this next part. We've been talking about the fact that trust is a choice. We've got to choose. We're either going to trust or we're not, but it is our choice. And here's the thing. Okay, our trust is shown by obeying Him in the things that we know. We've been saying this all along. Okay, if we don't trust Him in the things that we know, then how are we ever going to trust Him in the things that we don't know? And again, that has particular application to today's lesson, because we know what God says. We know what He tells us to do when it comes to forgiveness. We need to learn to trust Him. Okay? It hurts so bad, doesn't it? When somebody does something against us, it hurts so bad. Okay? And so we find ourselves sometimes saying this. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but... Well, see, there it is, isn't it? I know what God tells me to do. I know what He wants me to do and what His Word says, but... And then there's that exception clause that we want to throw in there. You don't understand how bad he hurt me or she hurt me. Or you don't understand what they did. You don't understand, they've done this so many times before. How am I supposed to keep forgiving? I know what the Bible says, but I know what God is telling me, but the pain that we oftentimes feel in the midst of that blocks our thinking a lot of times. You see, we've talked about this fact before, that oftentimes our emotions kind of start taking over. And when our emotions are in charge, what happens? Our thinking starts shutting down. So we allow the emotions to determine what we're going to do instead of doing what we know we should. Well, what we need to do, what we need oftentimes is a pain blocker, right? Okay? We need something to help us kind of block that pain so that we can find ourselves and focus on doing what we know God wants us to do. And by the way, what God wants us to do is always what? It's always in our best interest. It's the best thing for us to do. Now, it may not be the easiest thing to do, but it is always the best thing for us to do. So sometimes we need to have this pain blocker to be able to help us to kind of overcome the pain so we can start thinking clearly and do what God tells us to do in this case, and then that will ultimately take away all the pain and hurt and resolve whatever the issue really is. Okay, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But you see, as long as that pain is there, we find ourselves doing these two things. We rationalize and we justify. Okay, we come up with all kinds of reasons why forgiveness just doesn't apply in this situation. And how we want justice. And sometimes it's just, you know, if they would just apologize, then I'd be able to forgive them. But they won't apologize. Well, I hate to bust your bubble, but in all of the passages that the Scriptures talk about forgiveness, I haven't found one yet that requires someone to apologize before we forgive them. Okay? It's just not there. So we need to get rid of the rationalization. We need to get rid of the justification. We need to get rid of all those kinds of things. And we need to trust in God when it comes to forgiving someone who has hurt us. But here's the part that I don't think we really understand this, that forgiveness is a process. It is not an event. Are you hearing me? You see, I think sometimes what we do is we focus on the process of the hurt and the pain, and we don't allow ourselves the process of healing from that hurt and pain. And then what happens on top of that is Satan tends to beat us up with guilt because we can't seem to forgive the person, and then we get caught in this vicious cycle. We got to realize that it is a process that we have to go through. Well, how does that really work? Well, here's one of the difficult parts in that. We look at the situation and the person who hurt us and sometimes maybe say something like this: I'm so broken. I hurt so much. How am I supposed to forgive you when you're the one who broke me? You ever felt like that towards someone? And yet, that's what God calls upon us to do. You want me to forgive this person who hurt me so bad? And God says, yes. Yes. But notice the question here is how? How am I supposed to do that? What's the process? Okay? We've got to allow for the healing to take place. In other words, you know, forgiveness is really easy when it's just a little thing, right? You know, and maybe, you know, your mate maybe took your, you know, piece of toast and ate your piece of toast. Okay? And you go, I wanted that piece of toast. Not that my wife has ever done that, okay? This is just a hypothetical situation, okay? But we look at that, and that's nothing, okay? But what about when it's a really big hurt? The reason it's so difficult to forgive is because we still hurt. And what we've got to do is to begin that process of healing. And within that process of healing comes the forgiveness. All right? Let's look at this particular passage, Matthew chapter 12, because I think this hopefully will help us to see why this is so difficult and what we need to do, okay? In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talks about that when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it says it goes through arid places looking for rest. And when it doesn't find it, it goes back to the place that it was, and it finds that house, he says, swept clean. And it says, then I will go in there and live there. He says, I will take seven other demons more powerful than myself. And they go in there and they live there. And he says, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, that this passage really, really demonstrates and tells us why it's so difficult for us to stop doing something that is harmful to us. Kind of stop breaking bad habits and things like that. And it's because what happens is when all we do is try to stop doing something, it's like this. We kick that demon out, okay? And then what's left? There's a big void there, an empty space. And unless we fill that empty space with something else, then there's plenty of room for that demon, okay, whatever that demon is, to come back. And every time we do that, it gets worse. That's why, again, you know, people say, well, I can quit smoking anytime I want to. I've done it 100 times, you see, because all we do is try to stop. We don't try to replace that with something else. And forgiveness is the same way. You see, we tell ourselves, I've got to forgive this person. I know that. I know what God tells me. I know what the Bible says. I need to forgive them. And so, all right, I'm going to forgive them. And what happens the next time you see that person? Man, all that comes rushing back right into that void, that empty space, and you feel even more hurt and pain and anger and everything else than you did before. Then you sit back and you go, why can't I forgive them? I know I'm supposed to. And then again, Satan heaps up the guilt on you, and you see how that just keeps going round and round, isn't it? Well, what do we have to do? We've got to fill that empty space with something else. Okay? Fill that empty space with something else so that there's no room for that demon, that anger and that hurt and that pain to keep coming back. All right? Someone said this, you will begin to heal when you let go of the past hurts, forgive those who have wronged you. I'm having a little bit of time reading that. And learn to forgive yourself for your mistakes. You see, again, forgiveness involves both of those things. It's forgiving others, but it's also forgiving ourselves. What do we put in that empty space? Okay, what do we need to put there? Well, first of all, we need to put control back in there for ourselves. Okay, and what does that really mean? Well, the healing will only take place, okay, once we take the control away from that other person. Look at what this particular thing says. Healing doesn't mean the damage never existed. It means the damage no longer controls our life. Isn't that so true? You see, I think a big part of the difficulty is that we're trying to forgive by denying that we got hurt. And that doesn't work. Okay, we need to accept that. Yes, it happened. And yes, I got hurt. But I'm no longer going to allow that to control my life. Okay? And until you forgive, whatever that person did will control you, and that person will control you. So we need to learn to take that control away, and God says the best way to do that is to forgive. You see, when you choose to forgive those who've hurt you, you also take away their power. They can no longer control how you think and how you feel. Because until then, basically, they own you. And they control your thoughts and your feelings, and a lot of times, They don't even know it. But every time you think about them, every time you hear their name, then all that pain and hurt and anger comes rushing back. They're in control of you. And the only way to truly be free of that is to forgive them. And how do we do that? What needs to go in that empty space? What's the best thing that you can think of to go in that empty space? I want to suggest to you it's this. Okay? When you can't forgive someone, pray for them. Okay? It may not change them, but it will always change you. Okay? And so I think part of this is realizing, you know, again, we get caught up in the difficulty of forgiving is that we require them to fix it and to change and stop doing it and all those other kind of things. Well, you know what? That may never happen. They may never change their ways. Well, then are you going to allow them to control you for the rest of their life and the rest of yours? No. Instead, fill that empty spot with prayer for them. You remember, Jesus says that we should do what? Pray for our enemies. Right? Okay? Love your enemies, he says, and pray for those who persecute you even. So pray for them. Fill that empty space with prayer for that person. And then you don't have any room for that hurt and anger to keep coming back. And that prayer will walk you through the process of healing, true healing, so you can be free of the control of that other person. Okay? The second thing we need to realize about this, and we've talked about this part before, forgiveness is a salvation issue. Okay? Forgiveness is a salvation issue. We need to understand this. When we really hinge on this particular part of it, okay, then it's a much easier to avoid the "I know what the Bible says, but," because we realize that, wait a minute, when it comes to my salvation, ain't no buts about it, okay? I need to obey what God's telling me to do. So we need to realize forgiveness is a salvation issue. Okay? Are we going to forgive someone, or are we going to make excuses as to why we don't need to? When I hear people make this statement, "I will never forgive them for that," when I hear that, I just cringe. Because what that person is saying is, what they're doing is they're going to allow whatever that person did to cause them to lose their soul. That's how important and how serious forgiveness really is. When we refuse to forgive someone, we're sealing our own fate. Why is that? Because every single one of us are guilty of sin ourselves. The Apostle Paul says that all of us have sinned. Anybody here not guilty of sin? Anybody never sinned? Good, I don't see any hands raised. Okay? We'll talk more about that in just a moment. So therefore, all of us need what? Forgiveness, right? We all need forgiveness because we've all sinned. And when we refuse to forgive someone else, then we're basically telling God, "I don't want your forgiveness." Why do we say that? Well, look at this, okay? Here's our life. Eternity goes on for how long? Forever. Never ends, right? Okay? But whatever that person did in this life to hurt you will hurt you for eternity if you refuse to forgive them. Okay? So whatever they did, they chose to hurt you in this life, but you choose. Remember, we talked about it's a choice, right? You choose to let them hurt you for eternity. It is your choice. As we also, we've looked at what Jesus says in the model prayer. He teaches us how to pray. forgive us our debts, how? As we forgive our debtors. Okay? In other words, in the same way, with the same heart and mind, that we forgive others, God forgive us. In Matthew chapter 6, after this, Jesus is saying, for why? If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So again, forgiveness is a salvation issue. God forgiving us is conditioned upon us being willing to forgive those who sin against us. The Apostle Paul in the church in Colossae says, forgive each other. How? As Christ has forgiven you. All right? And to the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, rather, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Again? As God in Christ forgave you. So God has set us an example in showing His willingness to forgive us. He calls upon us to forgive one another as He has done for us. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, for they shall receive mercy. Okay? The forgiveness that you give determines the forgiveness you get. So, how quickly do you want God to forgive you when you sin? Okay? We need to forgive others just as quickly. And then finally, if we confess, and this takes us to the text that Holloway read for us as we began this morning in 1 John chapter 1. Okay? Look at what John writes here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from how much unrighteousness? From all of it. Okay? Not just the little stuff. Okay? Not just the little stuff. A lot of people that struggle with sin in their own lives and look at, well, this is too big for God to forgive me. Well, whatever it is, it's not too big. And whatever it is, it's included under all. Okay? But what do we have to do? We've got to be willing to confess our sins, knowing that God will forgive us. And if God is willing to forgive you of your sins, then why should you hold those sins against yourself? Okay? We need to learn to forgive ourselves. God does. Okay? God forgives us, and that's a promise that He is making to us. In Matthew chapter 1, when, you know, the angel appears to and tells and foretells of the coming of the Messiah, he tells Joseph, as Joseph is afraid, what am I going to do with this baby and this wife that is pregnant with this baby and it's not mine? And the angel appears to Joseph, says, do not be afraid or do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son and you shall call His name Jesus. Why? Why call Him that? For He will save His people from their sins. That is God's desire. We were talking about in our Bible class this morning, God doesn't want how many people to perish? None. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's how much He loves us and what He is willing to do with our sins. John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, and you've heard me talk about this so many times. The core of the gospel message is really this. Is there anyone left to condemn you? No one, sir. And neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. Jesus is saying, I don't come here to condemn people. If that's what God wanted to do, he didn't need to send Jesus here to die. You see, he could have condemned us all right from heaven. But that's not what he came to do. He came to save us from our sins. Too many Christians, I'm afraid, are out here just not believing that God really can and will forgive them for things that they have done. Okay? Can he really forgive me for, and you fill in the blank? And they struggle, try to hide away. Will God really forgive me for this or for that? And I'm here to tell you this morning, the answer is this. Yes. That's what 1 John is all about. So again, if God is willing to forgive you, you need to forgive yourself. So here's what it really comes down to. I choose to forgive. That's what we need to say. I choose to forgive, and I trust God to deal with the heart who hurt me. Okay? That is our challenge this morning. To trust God enough to do what He tells you to do. Forgive. And let God deal with the heart of that person. You just pray for them. Okay? Now, I don't know what you might be hurting from. I don't know what someone else might have done to you to hurt you. But if whatever that is still got you bound up because you're having a difficult time forgiving, then I hope that what I've shared with you this morning will help you in that process of forgiveness. And I hope we can help you this morning, if you're not already moving in that direction, to get moving in that direction so we can help you to be free from whatever has been done to hurt you by whoever that might be. If you need some help, some encouragement, guidance, whatever it might be, all you got to do is let us know. Ray's going to be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone if you'd like to come up and talk to me. The other part of this is that if you have not given your life to Christ, then you are still separated from Him by your sins. And that's really what this is all about, is being reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, asking for forgiveness of your sins so that you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb and reconciled to God. And if you have not done that, you have the opportunity to do it right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make a commitment to follow Him, then confess Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? We got water. Okay, water's ready. All you got to do is let us know. Wes has a song that he's chosen for us to sing as an invitation song. And so if we can do anything to serve you in any way, please take this opportunity. Let's stand together and sing.